Shirtless again?
Man, after a victory like that, you know I'm shirtless.
Don't know. I'm surprised.
You already know, man.
I'm not even surprised. Yo, I got Rachel and Carrie in a group chat right now talking shit because they're 7-0 and 6-1 in fantasy right now. And I'm like, okay, no, I'm not hating. I'm not hating. I'm just saying you do this every season and it goes nowhere.
Man, I ain't even worried.
They're having a good, that's what I said. They're having a great season.
I ain't worried. Yeah, I see her. She's right
Oh,
there.
you've ever gone 6-0, but I have.
Four championships. I'd rather have the championships.
Boo.
Nitty and gritty. Have your little 7-0. Congratulations. I'll take the championships. That's all I'm saying. Bring a title home. Bring a title home. You can boo all you want. The facts are the facts. I'm not hating.
I don't count any championships before I was in the
You
league.
can boo them all. You can boo me all you want, but the facts are the facts, folks. Four rings. Count them. One, two, three, four. Quattro. Looking for Cinco de Mayo. So it's happening. And I'm right where I need to be. 4-3. I'm not panicking yet. That other loss I had was a fluke anyway. So fuck that shit. I lose to her every year. So I never count those anyways. So really, I'm like 5-1 with some bullshit. So it's fine. I'll take 4-3 right now.
Ladies
I'm
and gentlemen,
deadly.
he's not counting the loss he had on my team.
Nope, not at all.
Nope,
Banged
he
up
just
team.
forgot about he forgot about
Banged
that
up.
spanking. He forgot
Nope.
about that spanking.
That's an asterisk. Half team was banged up. Nah.
Just like half your championships have asterisks on them. I wasn't even in the
Was well played. I have no
league
comeback for that.
yet.
This is a half kind of asterisk. Damn. Fine.
Hey,
That's
man.
okay. That's okay. I'm gonna show y'all what I got. I still got plenty of depth. I'm good.
Hey, man. Off the top of your head, right now, in honor of NBA season starting, name five random NBA players. Go.
Random?
Random.
Okay.
All time.
Whoa. Is it random or all time? Because I can just name some random players.
Yes, random players of all time.
Okay.
Look, you go first. We'll go back and forth. Boom.
Do I
Five.
need to have some kind of criteria for this or just the most random players I can think of?
Just the most random. Okay, say it like this. A casual NBA fan would not know this player.
Detlef Schrempf.
Oof. I feel like somebody would,
A
though. But okay.
casual? I doubt a casual would know who that is.
Charlie Bell.
See, I don't even know who that is. That a casual wouldn't even know. Would a casual know Luke Longley?
Don't know. If only because he played for the Bulls.
Right? Like, that's that name always randomly pops up in my head. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll go
Okay.
Carlos Delfino.
Oh my goodness.
I'm talking about these type players.
Okay. I was gonna
Birdman?
say, give me Chris Anderson.
Birdman.
Birdman.
Okay, he's pretty popular. Okay.
I mean.
I'll go his teammate Anthony Carter.
Oh, okay. I got one. It just
Okay,
popped in my
okay.
head.
We got two
Yeah,
more.
a casual wouldn't know this, but any NBA player, I mean, a fan would. Wally Szczerbiak.
Wally Zerbiak. There you
I
go. There's a
had
veteran.
to dig. I had to dig. I had to dig. Okay, I think I have one more, but it's
Okay.
kind of random.
I'll go John Salmons.
Oh, I remember John Salmons. Okay. Last one, Brian Scalabrine.
Oh, okay, that ain't that right.
Like the name, unless you're out of Boston, like the name just doesn't hit right unless you know some shit. So I don't think a casual would know Scalabrine, but respect. You got
Okay.
cabal.
Last but not least, my Asian brethren from China, Sun Yu.
Son, you. Oh my God.
I just thought of the most random five ever.
Yeah, I can't top that shit at all. I was saying like, Shabazz Napier. That's just
Jeremy
too
Lamb.
right. Oh, there you go. Woof, man. Yeah, we'll get into the NBA shit later on because, yes, folks, right now as we speak, shit's back in session. NBA's back. So we'll get that little taste and then a big episode next week. Again, that's a little foreshadowing for you, but how was your weekend, sir?
Overall, my weekend was pretty good. I went to this Halloween party at my uncle's bar. You know what I'm saying? I went as the Joker.
Okay.
You
Of
feel
course. Oh, I saw the photo. Yeah, that's right.
me? Yeah.
You
Here's the
look
crown,
good.
motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
Nothing too
think he
crazy
says that.
happened. Just Just had a couple drinks and nothing too crazy happened. For some reason, I don't remember how I got so drunk, but I remember just dropping my guy, Mankey, off at the crib.
Mink, yes.
And I just stumble into his basement and I'm just like, bro, this looks really comfortable right here. And I just lay down. And next thing you know, I'm like, yo, you got a bag? I feel like I gotta throw up.
Oh my
See, I'm one of
God.
those drunks that like kind of know how to take care of themselves. I'm like, hey, you got this? I might need it.
Right, like you kind of prepare yourself for
I'm
the
not just
thunder.
passed out and then all of a sudden I'm dirty.
Right. And someone got to take care of you. That's the
Yeah,
worst. It's the
that
worst if
is the
someone's got to
worst.
baby you.
Right. Like, at least wake up and tell me or move a limb, something.
Right.
Tell, let me know you're
Clean
alive.
up. Clean up a little bit,
Yeah. Don't
Yeah.
just act dead after you just threw up all over your pants.
Oh, God.
So, spent the rest of the night throwing up. Woke up in the morning, me and Mankey went to go grab some pho. Boom, boom, boom. Got back, dropped them off, went back to the crib, rolled one up. Went back to bed. And then I woke up, and then I just started watching some USC fights, and then boom, found myself down at Pato putting in a parlay that I fucking missed because the Patriots. Oh my God, the Patriots. I'm not
Never
even gonna get
trust the
into my
Patriots.
parlay, but that was the one team, and they just so happened to play first that fucked up my parlay.
Just like
Just like
that. That's what you get for betting on the Patriots, man. I keep telling y'all, it's a loss, sunken cost, man. Just loss.
I knew Drake May was ass, but I chose to roll with him because I thought Trevor Lawrence was more ass, but apparently he's not.
Nah, not yet, at least.
No.
Man, oh man. Well, I'm sorry you didn't win any bank for the show. Not going to Sizzler this week, I guess. Back to McDonald's for you.
Man, no, it's back to Culver's,
Back to Culver's.
always find
Thanks.
somewhere in my pocket for Culver's.
You know what I just read? Like, there's like E. coli in the Quarter Pounders at McDonald's.
Oh,
Huge. Nationwide shit.
good thing.
Bad.
Good thing I'll never order that.
I ain't fucking with that shit. I'm like, that's supposed to be the freshest thing on the menu. They're like, oh yeah, whoops. Bacteria grows when it's fresh.
E. coli.
Whoopsie. Whoops, Daisy. Give it the old frozen nasty burgers. We'll eat it. It's cool. Just make that shit a dollar and we're all good. But
Bring back the dollar McDoubles, man. Those had no E. coli and were perfectly fine.
I'm telling you, man, that's how I grew up. That's probably too much of what the fat content is today. But most of it's double cheeseburgers. Anyway, so yeah, my weekend was it was what it needed to be, honestly, after the fucking long season of soccer. It's finally over.
Oh.
Season's done. Oh my God. Hallelujah. It was a fun time. Don't get me twisted. I know I complain about how it all went down and everything, but man, that's a lot to be a volunteer coach and not know anything about soccer. So, I did what I could. I mean, the record wasn't as bad the first time I did it around. We got like one game that we won. This time it was 2-4-1. Got a couple wins
Okay.
out of it. Hey,
Okay.
and honestly, in my opinion, that should have been like 4-2-1. Couple things and calls didn't go our way. I'm not gonna complain about it. It's fourth grade. What can I do? But that's just something where I go, I'm a better coach than I thought. I even got my first hate mail this season.
Wow.
But now I'm officially a coach.
Wow. Who'd you get it from?
The random parks department saying some of the parents thought I was playing certain kids more than other kids. And in my head, I was like, cool, there's 12 of them. So you play seven at a time. Draw me the math of how you play each one of them equally in a 60-minute game. I'll wait. Not to mention, some of them get injured. Some of them just don't want to fucking play. Some of them are too tired to play after 5 minutes. I'll wait. Equal playing time. Cool. So I just wanted to put that out there, folks. I tried. I tried my damnedest. And then everybody had a great time. Everybody learned something. I learned something. So it was very fun. I'm never doing it again. I'm putting it on the show right now.
Ten
I've
twenty
coached.
two twenty four. Stamp
Thank
it.
you. Stamp it right now. I have coached each of my children for at least one season. I'm done. I have a new respect
9:14 p.m.
for football. I said it. I have a new respect for football now. Never coaching again. So that was fun. Just kind of hung out this weekend. We went to wedding reception. That Saturday night, very nice out in Wauwatosa. Had way too much to fucking drink. Definitely threw up in Crystal's toilet. Shout out to Crystal, former guest on the show. Sorry about your bathroom. Definitely fucked that up. But the whiskey was really flowing that night. So, yeah, I paid for that Sunday morning, like I told you. I think I woke up from the dead around halftime on Sunday. So I don't remember most of Saturday night, but I'm guessing we had a really good time. So that was cool. There was one horrible fucking thing that happened on Saturday, though, and I got to put it out there on the show because I'm still shaking from it. While we were in Oconomowoc, dropping off Sully at a sleepover, I got shot at.
No.
I got shot at in a Ritz part of town, like cul-de-sac, million-dollar homes, dropping off my son at a sleepover, leaving the area, we get shot at. It was startling. It was crazy. Didn't even know how to handle it at first. And then we kind of looked in the rearview mirror and kind of realized, yeah, we were driving past this street in this nice little white house, and this little fucking five-year-old little boy runs out right to the curb, fucking Nerf gun, right in our fucking window.
Nerf gun. Man, I was like, wait, hold on, man. Fucking Nerf gun.
I was traumatized, man. We're like, what is that? He shot at us. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was a Nerf gun. Yeah.
Man.
What are they teaching these kids, man? They teach these kids in the streets. Nothing is safe anymore.
Man, shout out that little kid, man. That's my type of kid right there, man.
I thought we were
do
dying,
that shit again.
Dude. That shit was hilarious. I'm like, this dude is going places. He is not afraid of shit. He said, "If I don't care, you know what? At this point, even if it was racist, I wouldn't even care because that's hilarious." He said, "I'm defending my home." He saw me coming from a mile away. That kid is going places. Then maybe racist places, but he's going places. I'd be damned, bro. It made a metal sound. So I don't know if it was like a Nerf gun or one of those like Nerf little like bullet things they have, the long distance ones. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was one of those. But if he had put a chip in my fucking window, we would have put that shit in park in reverse, just so you know, real quick. Even Rachel
wouldn't
have
stopped.
Nope. Rachel was like, we should have like you should have got out the car and started running after him. I'm like, yeah, so I can go to jail. Like, that's how I get actually shot.
By his just dad.
By his dad, exactly. So didn't want that to happen. Yeah, that was fun. Weekend was fun. I knew that would get you
for a second, man. I'm like, oh shit, god damn.
In Oconomowoc.
I'm mad he didn't hit you.
All right. Acting, folks, acting. And that's when we cue the music.
1, 2, 3.
This is why I always carry a Nerf gun in the SUV, just so you know. I'm always strapped. We were stunned. He caught me slipping for a second. But just so you know, bro, I'm always strapped. I got that little one-shot dart pistol in the glove compartment. Always ready to go. That's how I fucking roll, bro. My name is Siege. This is Rizzy. This is the Bank Bro Show. You knew that. You pushed play. And we're thankful that you did. Hope you're having a wonderful fall season. I still need the temperatures to drop. It's still a little too fucking hot for me. But
No.
The colors are changing.
I have my space heater on.
The space heater?
Yes.
I don't know how you lizard people do this. Because, oh, y'all, you, my kids are the same way. All of a
lizard
sudden.
Lizard people?
Yes.
Lizard
y'all,
people need it cold.
We got to have it backwards. But y'all are crazy with this shit. 70 degrees. I'm sweating. And y'all like, it's freezing. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. Need an 85. That's perfect to me.
85.
It's like, roll out of bed in my drawers with so much energy.
Oh, my God. I mean, I do like sleeping in my drawers, but like 85. But I'll do that when it's like 60. That's what I'm saying. So like,
oh,
I like
okay.
It like
see, okay, okay.
I like it like an igloo, man. Like, I need to be cool. I sweat in my sleep. So it's rough, man. It's rough. Don't get fat.
I mean, I sweat in my sleep too. Don't get me wrong.
This shit, I need those cooling sheets. We got like a mattress and the cooling sheets, bamboo sheets. That's the new rage now.
Silk sheets.
On TikTok all the time. Silk. I would stain that shit, man. I got too much oils for the silk stuff. Skirt right out of bed. Skirt. Something from a movie. I can't. What the fuck was that movie? Anyway, my point is this: we are back. Another fucking episode, fresh and hot out the kitchen. A lot of NFL news. Because again, we say it every week, the North is back. So we got to talk about it every fucking week. But plenty of shit happened. Like we said earlier, NBA's kick cooking too. So we got a little bit for that. And we'll end up with some UFC picks because we got a big UFC show coming up this Saturday as well. Before all of that, I got to get to my team because we're on a bye. So I have the quickest segment of the night, and I'm going to pour a little whiskey. But the Bears want to bye. So, hey, here's the thing about that. What if I can go back in time? I would love to go back in time about 6 weeks and tell myself before the season started, hey, guess what? The Bears are playing well. Caleb looks like the real deal. Like, you drafted him like number one. We're 4-2 even, and we're in last place. Yeah, that's being a Bears fan right now. It's living hell. I don't know. I can't even be happy about a winning record because we're dead fucking last, and everybody else in the division wants to be awesome at the same time. So it's great. I'm enjoying it on our vacation. We're back at it this week with the Commanders and no Jaden Daniels. We'll get to that later, but I'm feeling good and hopeful as a Bears fan for now. It just sucks that the rest of you fools keep winning games too. But I'll let you dive into that because the Lions and the Vikings had to take a showdown for the top of the division. And this man's shirt's already off, so you can probably surmise how that went down. But Rizzy, why don't you regale them?
Y'all see this tattoo? Yes, sir!
Oh, my God.
Every Lions fan can agree with me that at no point in this game did we feel like we were going to lose this game. The Vikings jumped out to a quick 10-0 lead. Cool. Try to go for it on fourth. Didn't work out. I ain't mad at it. It's what we do. You live and you die by it. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
But this is why the Lions are the best team in the NFL. Because it doesn't matter what you throw at them, what chess move you make on the board, Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or Dan Campbell or all three will find a move to counter your move. And I said all week leading up into the game, it's going to be Brian Flores versus Ben Johnson. How is Ben Johnson going to react and adjust to the blitzing zone scheme that Brian Flores runs out of that double mug, bringing two middle linebackers right in the A-gap, one between each center and guard? What is he going to do when guys are dropping back? Guys are blitzing. He doesn't know where the blitz is coming from. He doesn't know who's dropping back. What is he going to do? And what did Ben Johnson do? He said, oh, you want to go numbers for numbers, huh? You're bringing six. We're blocking five. We're blocking six. You're bringing seven. Okay, how about this? I'll do you one better. We're going to be one up you every time because what we're going to do, we're going to max protect, meaning keep a running back and a tight end in the block along with the five offensive linemen. And we're going to motion in Tim Patrick, a 6'4", 230-pound receiver, inside here to block two. So we're going to always have one up on you. And now we're going to give Jared Goff time to find Amon-Ra St. Brown right down the middle, chopping your defense up right where you're weak. Because when you have that many people up against the line of scrimmage in the middle of the field, you leave that entire gap between deep safety or deep safeties and linebackers wide open. And where does Amon-Ra St. Brown work? You betcha. Right in between there. So that's why Amon-Ra St. Brown this week had the big game. It's because he does well where Minnesota is vulnerable. And that's right in the middle of the field. Eight catches, eight targets, 100% completion percentage when targeted. Shout out, my boy. Over 115 yards, a tutty. And his running mate for this game. Good thing about this offense is you never know who's going to get the ball. You never know who's going to go off. And who went off alongside Amon-Ra St. Brown to carry the Lions offense? Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't know if Jahmyr Gibbs was untackleable or if the Minnesota Vikings just didn't want to tackle him. Because it seemed like the Minnesota Vikings, after a while, just didn't want to tackle him at all. Whenever he was in the game, they looked demoralized. When David Montgomery was in the game, oh, they were flying to David Montgomery. And one thing we did with Jahmyr Gibbs and how we countered that blitzing zone scheme from the double mug formation that Brian Flores brings is we ran it right down their throats. Because when you bring that many people down to the line of scrimmage and you break the first wave of defenders, you got green grass in front of you and a bunch of DBs. And boy, was Jahmyr Gibbs making people miss. He was hitting people with the AI Hezzy cross, looking like Kyrie Irving out there doing a half spin. Oh, my God. So a combination of those two, great offensive line play, good wrinkles with Ben Johnson bringing in extra blockers in from the receiver position. That's what ultimately got the Lions the victory because we had to have this game offensively. Because defensively, our stud was out. He's out for the rest of the year. And how did the Lions adjust to not having Aiden Hutchinson out there, the NFL leading sack artist, before he went out? What we did was we mixed in more blitzes. Normally, the Lions like to just blitz four and just play straight man coverage. We stayed in that man coverage. We brought extra blitzers. We played a little more zone. We tried to do things to mix it up to not give the offense the same look over and over again. Because normally with Aiden Hutchinson in there, it's the same look. It's 1B, 11 high, or two man. That's pretty much it. That's all Aaron Glenn runs. And that's cool because we've been good at it. But shout out to Brian Branch because we needed somebody to step up, whether it be on the defensive line or anywhere else, to make plays, to give our offense more opportunities to go down and score the ball because we know how electric our offense is. And Brian Branch, he got that interception. He should have had a fumble recovery for six, but that got called back. He had a big PBU on third down to give the Lions the ball back to spark their touchdown drives. Brian Branch was all over the field, and he looks like he already looks like one of the best safeties in the NFL because of his versatility. He can line up in the slot and play corner. He was on Justin Jefferson at times. He can come down in the box and play linebacker. Dude had seven tackles, I believe it was. He had a tackle for loss. He might have even had a sack, if I'm not tripping, or that might have been Xavier McKinney when I was watching that other film. But he had a pick and a PBU. He was definitely our defensive player of the game. And going forward, I expect nothing less. This is going to be a consistent thing for Brian Branch and his fellow running mate, Kirby Joseph, who I said is the best safety duo in the NFL, and I stand by it to this day. And the Vikings are exactly who I thought they were. They still got Sam Darnold at quarterback, and he showed you why he's Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's gun-shy and he's scared to throw the ball. There was two opportunities in which he either missed or didn't throw the ball. One, I believe it was third down, third and maybe seven. Sam Darnold rolls to the right pocket, collapses. He has two wide receivers open. I think it's Jalen Naylor and Justin Jefferson. He throws it in the middle of each of them. And when you do that, no receiver knows who's getting the ball, who that was targeted to. So they're not going to go for the ball. So maybe if he would have been decisive and nailed Naylor, pause, or hit Justin Jefferson on the deeper corner route, game might have been over then. I'll do you one better. It was third and short before Minnesota punted it and got their fate sealed by the Detroit Lions and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Mm. I don't know who the receiver, it might have been Addison, but he had Addison. Sam Darnold had Jordan Addison open on a hitch route. It was like a spot slash hitch route where you just run to the sticks and turn around. The sticks meaning the first down marker. And he didn't throw it. I don't know why he didn't throw it. I looked at it on film. I'll post it right here. I don't know why he didn't throw it. He had a window, just didn't choose not to throw it. But thank you very much, Sam Darnold, for being Sam Darnold. Because the Detroit Lions came in your trap and took your trap. Shout out Kirk Cousins, who actually lost.
Nice. Man, yeah.
The Detroit Lions are our top of the NFC and the NFC North. I expected nothing less. Y'all better get used to it because the Lions ain't going nowhere. Still the best team in the NFL, and we're not done yet because we got one more move to make before the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And the more and the closer we get to that trade deadline, the more likely it seems like we got a chance to get Mad Max Crosby.
Man.
He's in Michigan this week. I'm just saying.
That's a game changer, man.
He's in Michigan this week. I'm just saying. Yes, I follow him on Instagram, and I'm stalking him. Yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Keeping my tabs, you know, it's just interesting. Right. Michigan, huh? And trade that.
So happy to have a conversation in the area, maybe.
Yeah. But, you know, just going off that, I just wanted to say, like, I don't think Minnesota's our best, biggest threat, so to say.
Oh, no.
I believe it's the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, let's talk about them for a second. Because they faced the Houston Texans in a big showdown. The Texans have been on a roll three straight. Green Bay, you know, they're winning games, but there's still some question marks, and there always has been, especially since Rodgers left town. So this is a big test for both these franchises, I think. And damn it, man, I really needed Houston to come through and handle business. What the fuck happened, dude?
So for one, CJ Stroud struggled. Mm-hmm. Probably had the worst game of his career. This game and the game against Minnesota.
Figures.
And it's almost because of the same reasons. I think CJ Stroud is second-guessing himself when teams are disguising blitzes, kind of where you don't know who's blitzing, you don't know who's dropping back. All you know is some people are blitzing and some people are dropping back.
Right.
Because there was multiple times in that game. I remember Xavier McKinney was lined up all the way outside on the edge, and you could tell he was coming on a blitz. And I don't know why CJ Stroud didn't point him out or anything. CJ Stroud was okay. Snap the ball, boom, and he gets sacked by Xavier McKinney. I don't know if it was a him thing, a coaching thing. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I feel like CJ Stroud should be able to recognize that and shift protection or do something. Man, I think the Green Bay Packers just did a great job disguising what defenses they were in, disguising their blitz packages. And like I said, who's blitzing, who's dropping back. They did a great job of disguising and really confusing CJ Stroud in that offense. Another thing I noticed the Packers did well was they were sitting on routes, meaning they were playing underneath coverage and daring CJ Stroud to throw the deep ball. And they were doing that because Nico Collins wasn't on the field. Nico Collins is the guy that takes the top off of that defense. And so until Nico Collins comes back, I feel like this offense is going to be handicapped. And I know Stephon Diggs is a fantastic receiver. I know Tank Dell has a ton of potential. Mm-hmm. Schultz is a good tight end. Joe Mixon was running that thing.
Yep.
But you need that type of receiver in today's game to have a successful offense. It doesn't matter what team you look to. They have a receiver that could take the top off of a defense. Look at all the best offenses. The Bears even. Mm-hmm. They have those guys. They got two guys that could take the top off of defense.
That's right.
The Lions, they got them.
Yep.
Packers.
You have to have them.
They got them. Yeah. Look everywhere. Tampa Bay, Baltimore, even Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
So in today's NFL, it's like that is equivalent to having a running back in the mid-2000s.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Crucial. And
until they get Nico Collins back, like I said, they're going to be handicapped. Stroud, don't be surprised if he continues to struggle. I don't know why my lights just went out.
Whoa. That was cool. Crazy.
Yeah. Shout out Romeo Doubs. He's one of those receivers I really like on film. He was fucking torching Derek Stingley, which is very impressive because Derek Stingley is a stud of a corner. Just like Rashad Bateman. I'll get into him a little later. But yeah, might not be big on the fantasy side, but hey, you watch that dude on film. Romeo Doubs, I see you, man. Keep cutting up. And I'm a Lions fan. This is coming from me.
Right. He's proven big in big moments. And that's honestly the shitty part about it is I had written off Green Bay receivers just because like it could never feel like they had that go-to guy they used to have with Devontae Adams. But they're making the most out of having just these young cats all kind of shining at different moments here. So Dobbs 1 week, Wakes another week. Like, that's how Christian Watson was last year. You know, like, just those spot offenses that actually make the entire offense pop. And it doesn't hurt that Josh Jacobs is still Josh Jacobs. So even with three turnovers, yes, Green Bay still got the job done. And it fucking sucks. But now we've seen that they can do that against what most were considering a great playoff team, like the Texans. How are you seeing the outlook for the NFC North going forward? Because these next few games we've got here are insane. Chicago, got Washington, Cardinals up next, Patriots. So three very winnable games. Then right to the division slate, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Fran, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay. So Bears, yikes. But you look at Detroit, you know, Tennessee, Green Bay, you guys got Houston in 3 weeks yourselves. Jacksonville, Indy, you know, you got Chicago again. Even someone like Buffalo's on your schedule. Green Bay's got Jacksonville next. Then they got you guys. They've got us, San Fran, Miami. You know, so everyone's got like these trap games and these games that they should be winning. Minnesota looks like they've got Rams next. That's going to be tough. Indy, Jacksonville, Tennessee, easy slate. But then they've got kind of a tricky schedule to end. So this is a dead race going to the end of the season here. How do you feel going out?
You know, man, I don't think things are going to shake up too differently, to be honest with you. I think the Lions will stay on top.
I think so.
I think we're just the best team in the NFL, to be honest.
The trajectory is crazy for the Lions.
And we've been getting better and better each week.
Yeah.
And we are a team. Locker room, like, we got the best locker room in the NFL. Number two, I think Minnesota's going to continue to drop. I think Minnesota loses to the Rams.
I do too, honestly. Rams are a scrappy team.
Yeah, and I think
and Stafford knows how to beat Minnesota.
I was going to say, I think Kyron Williams is going to do a number on them.
Absolutely.
I think the Lions put enough on film as far as running the ball against that type of blitzing defense to where the Rams will pick up on it. and capitalize on it because Kyron Williams is their best weapon right now. I know Cooper Kupp might come back, but he hasn't played since week two.
Right. Kyron's a total weapon.
They're going to lean on Kyron Williams, and I think that's how they're going to get that win. So I think Minnesota is actually going to drop down to number three. Green Bay is going to overtake them to number two.
Yep.
And then Chicago's going to finish out at the bottom. But then it's crazy because Chicago and any other division might win that division.
See? Again, for us, as long as we're improving and starting to win and looking competent, we're fine.
You guys might be fourth with 10 wins.
Exactly. That's a statement. That's a statement season.
For the division.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we're here.
That means we'll have, like, 14, and then Packers might have 12, and 12. Then like 11.
Yeah. Good God. North is back, baby.
Yeah. North is back. But, like I said, man, I feel like Chicago is that sneaky team because they'll be the last seed in the playoffs, theoretically speaking.
Right.
The seventh seed. They're going against the number two team, which would be – might be nope. Green Bay would be fifth. It'll be a division winner.
Yeah.
So they can have you get like Seattle. They can get got.
Yeah. Vulnerable.
You better hope you get the NFC South.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, can Carolina win the division, please? Just please make it easy on us. Oh yeah, the South. Yeah, South. I'm kind of looking at you like. Birdman hand rub. Like,
Is the one you don't want to see is the Commanders.
No, mas.
That's the one no one wants to see.
No, thank you.
That's a trap game.
No, thank you.
And I know this week you guys got him, but potentially no Jaden Daniels.
I'm kind of bummed. I'm not going to lie. I don't want a salty win like that, man.
No, it just would have been so much fun to watch.
Absolutely.
One versus two and like they're both good.
Right. Like that would have been a showdown and just...
it's one versus two again because you guys are going against Mariota.
Oh my God.
My boy.
He didn't look too bad, honestly, in cleanup.
So he was hooping.
Like, I was kind of watching him, like, what year is it? Mariota to Zach Ertz. What the fuck is this?
17?
Right.
Like, it's the Pro Bowl? What the fuck?
Exactly. Right. It's the Rose Bowl? No, I'm kidding. Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I agree. I think the division is a race, but I don't see it shaking any differently at the end. This is still Detroit's world. We're just living in it. But, yeah, all four of those teams all have some really good strengths and some real cases here. We'll see how it shakes out.
But if you want me to be honest with you, I'm more afraid of Chicago than I am of Minnesota.
I like that.
It is weird to say because – obviously, Minnesota's a better team. Like, obviously, they are.
We know what Minnesota does in the playoffs, though. So it's kind of just a foregone conclusion.
Minnesota's like chicken breast.
Go on.
Like, you know what it is. If you do the right things to it, it's going to taste great. Going to do its job, right? Always going to grade well. Yeah. But will never put you over the top. It's just limited in the things that you can do.
That's a lean meat.
You know, Chicago is like chuck roast. Because you treat that bitch well, if you know what you're doing, that shit is tender as fuck, and you got a great meal to feed a family. If you don't know what you're doing, yeah, that's when Caleb throws three picks.
I have never heard a meat analogy for a football team that totally fucking works. And now I have a chuck roast. That is so accurate. Holy shit. You're absolutely right. Because you smoked that shit. Like,
oh, my God. Low and slow?
Low and slow. Oh, boy.
But braise if you burn it, that you shit, know what I'm saying? Oh, man.
It's a hockey puck if you burn it.
Hey, you try to cook that shit on a skillet? Yeah, good luck.
Right. Oh, my God. That shit was hilarious. Well, speaking of chuck roast, there's other divisions that have some chuck roast when it comes to some fucking players. I want to talk about one man whose name is Saquon Barkley. Oh my God. Because the Eagles, sorry, Kev. I played Kev this week and I over doubled his score thanks to Saquon and Jahmyr Gibbs. Oh my God. By themselves, just ran a train on Kev's team. So I'm so sorry, Kev. Sorry about that, bro. But the Eagles play the Giants, and I know he doesn't feel anywhere as bad as Giant fans do right now. 28-3, big divisional game. Saquon can be as nice as he wants about it. I saw the interviews. It's all love and brotherly love, City. I that's great. Kisses and hugs, bro. No, it ain't. That man wanted blood. He wanted blood, and they gave it to him. It was amazing. And if it wasn't for those whack-ass tush pushes, brotherly shoves, ready to come vulturing all my fucking touchdowns, Saquon would have had like four of them. Four. By himself. Yeah. Giants fans were sobbing, begging for it to stop. It was quiet as fuck. It was amazing. Even Danny Donuts got benched after this, during this fucking game. So Saquon went bananas. I loved it. He deserves it because that is still one of the best running backs in the league, and you need to pay him and treat him as such. But my goodness, 17 carries, 176 yards, averaging 10, by the way, and a TD. Are you kidding me? And then he had two other receptions for 11 yards. He was everywhere on the field. He might as well be kicking field goals. What did you see in the game, sir?
Yeah, this was a Saquon fuck you tour.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he got the ball, it was, oh, they didn't pay me. Oh, they didn't want me. The owner even said, if he goes to Philadelphia, I'll have trouble sleeping at night.
Yep.
So, I saw nothing less than a murder.
The nightmare came true.
I'm pretty sure there's a warrant out for Saquon's arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever's with him needs to turn him in immediately because, goddamn, holy shit. I've never seen some shit like this before. 17 for 176?
Animal. He ran possessed.
Those are receiving stats.
Right.
Good God.
Unbelievable bloodbath.
This is how the Philadelphia Eagles need to keep playing. They need to say, fuck the passing game. We have the best running back in the NFL today. I think he's better than Derrick. Me personally, I pick him over Derrick Henry. Just me personally.
The way he's playing right now, this is
like right there. It's like right there.
Yeah.
Give it to him at least 25 to 35 times a game, maybe.
Why not?
No, like you could throw it to him. You can hand it off. You just give him the ball. Give him a chance to do something spectacular because he can average 10 yards a touch. So keep playing Saquon Barkley's way. Fuck Jalen Hurts and what he does with the passing game. Just run the way until you have to throw it.
Right. Get the fuck out the way.
It's that simple.
I wish it was that simple for other teams, but yes, you're absolutely right.
But I say all that to say I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles will continue playing like this, and I expect them to continue to be inconsistent and end up like 9-8.
Yeah, it's kind of feeling that way. Philly is just not impressive. I mean, that was an impressive win, but that was Barkley's win, honest to God. The rest of the season for these guys are 4-2, but they ain't really made that much noise. It's not the Eagles of the last few years.
No, it was you're exactly right. It was Saquon Barkley got the win against the Giants.
That's it.
That's it, yeah.
Everyone else is kind of there.
Yeah.
I know A.J. Brown had a touchdown and everything, but it's just like...
No.
It doesn't matter. None of that mattered. It didn't even count. All it was a non-Saquon touchdown. That's how it's classified.
That they robbed of
from Saquon. Yes. He should have had six. Just saying. My goodness. That's all right. Giants fans can cry in their soup, but I know another fan base is also crying in there. What do they eat in San Francisco?
I don't know, but they got good weather year-round, so fuck them.
Well, things aren't so fucking good for the Niners, and the weather's pretty fucking cloudy. I think the Niners might be done. Ayuk is out for the season. Debo, shitting and puking his guts out during a game, has pneumonia. Purdy, fucking crumbling. McCaffrey, still fucking trying to come back. What has happened to the Niners, bro?
I mean, you said it, man. Just bad luck. Injury bug. That's it. You can't do anything about it sometimes. Like, it sucks. Yeah, like, I would have loved to face the 49ers at full strength and beat the shit out of them. But I guess we're just going to have to beat the shit out of a weak-ass Purdy-led team now. And I'm totally okay with that, too.
So are the Chiefs.
And I'm glad. the world can finally see Brock Purdy is so mediocre.
You've been saying it for a long time now.
He does nothing spectacular. If you take away all of his weapons, he's nothing. And yeah, I know. The basic argument against that is, well, if you take away anyone's top receivers, they're not going to be good either. Well, look at Joe Burrow. When he was thrown at Andy Yosivash. You guys know who he is? I sure didn't.
I know who he is now.
Yeah, now you do because of Joe Burrow.
Right.
Matthew Stafford. Another example. Did y'all remember who Puka Nacua was before he got drafted? No? No? Well, now you do. It's probably because of Matthew Stafford throwing him the ball. My point is, if he's really that guy, he'd make a star out of any receiver. Matthew Stafford made a star out of Kenny Galladay.
I forgot about Galladay.
And I'm saying Matthew Stafford because a lot of you guys want to already put Brock Purdy ahead of Matthew Stafford. When Matthew Stafford, he is the offense for the Rams. Everywhere he's gone, he's been the offense. I'm trying to pick quarterbacks around that range.
Right.
And so I'm just glad everyone can see Purdy's a fraud, never deserved to be in the MVP conversation, never ever will be ever again. And even on Patrick Mahomes' worst day, he's still better than Brock Purdy.
Yeah, what the hell is up with the undefeated back-to-back champions still getting the job done, but in the weirdest fucking ways possible? What is this Kansas City team this year?
It's exactly that. It's a fucking team. And that's why they're dangerous. Because if the defense is playing like this, if Mahomes could just return a half of what he was last year, I don't think anyone's going to beat this team. Except for the Lions.
Your only hope.
That's the world's only hope, because God, we do not want to see these motherfuckers going to three-peat.
Please, God, no. Not this. Anything but this. I will take anybody but this.
Fucking Taylor Swift on the screen again? Like
I can't. I can't, dude.
Nah. But
I can't.
I mean, Steve Spagnuolo, he deserves a lot of credit because this defense is balling. Trent McDuffie looks like one of the best corners in the NFL.
Crazy.
I mean, that defensive line, I feel like someone is showing up that we don't know every single time they play. Someone we don't know. Fucking some white boy that looks like he can't run. All of a sudden, he's fast as hell. Name is George Karloftis, by the way.
Ah, yes.
But, and this often, I don't know. Fucking Patrick Mahomes is weird, man. Like, I don't know if he's just fucking around, like, just not giving a fuck.
Could be.
And so he has to run somebody over.
Right.
But it just looks like he doesn't care. Like, it looks like he's just so nonchalant about everything, and he's just kind of going
too easy.
Waiting for the playoffs.
For him. Yeah. He's That's just what like, it whatever. Looks like. He's late fucking Michael Jordan. Just like, let me know when the playoffs start. That's the standard. That's when he kicks it in high gear. But until then, he's just like, this is practice for him.
Yeah. Do blink. And he blinked and they're 6-0.
Right. It's automatic for them. Like, but, I just don't get it.
And
it's crazy. Like, we've been seeing the same game tape for this fucking team for years, and no one has figured it out yet. I don't get
it. They look ass. Like, they really look ass.
They're not even doing anything spectacular. But
like, the Bears' offense looks better than their offense.
Right. But they just do their thing better than anybody.
But what's their thing right now with them being so ass?
I don't
know. Winning? That's all you can say. Like, that's all they've been doing. Like, have they done anything great to necessarily win? I don't know.
They literally win. They turn ass into ass aid. Like, I don't know. I don't know how.
They make no sense to me.
No. Oh.
And that's why they're still one of the most scariest teams in the league.
Backyards football shit.
Man.
All day long.
I'm not trying to glaze them too hard, but I think that just goes to show you, like, Pat Mahomes is really that dude.
Yeah.
Because no matter what happens during the game, if he got a shot to win the game, he's going to win the game.
He's going
to
win the game. To
win the fucking game. And that's the sole job of the quarterback. The number one job of the quarterback is to find a way to win the game.
That's right. It's crazy. Stop him. If you don't like it, fucking stop him. I'm begging you.
Yeah, he is. He's fucking praying and hoping you
please,
do.
Somebody stop this man. So
if Brock Purdy had the perfect opportunity, that was the worst game I've ever seen Mahomes play.
Oh, yeah. What, two turnovers?
But Purdy said, I'll one up you. I'll throw three picks and no touchdowns.
Yeah, got it. That'll show him. We got him. That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, it's funny because the stuff we talk about from Mahomes being just like, if you gave him 12 seconds on the clock, he's somehow going to fucking win. There's another guy I used to say that about. His name is Aaron Rodgers. And I got to know how you're feeling about your Jets, sons, because in case you're living under a rock, we were both in agreement that the Steelers starting Wilson over Fields was a clear sign that they would rather tank their season than having the sixth-round pick that they gave the Bears for Fields to turn into a fourth-round pick. And this man said that since the Jets got Davante Adams, it was instant cash. That chemistry was going to light on fire right away. And I said, it might take a little bit of time. You said, no, it's day one, Oos. Day one. I went to sleep during the Jets and Steelers game. Jets were up 15-0. And I said, okay, maybe the man was right. I didn't look at any stats. I was already half asleep anyway. Woke up the next day, and the world is shitting on the Jets. Because They still have 15. They allowed 31 unanswered points, and the Steelers beat the Jets. They asked Mike Tomlinson, and he has an all-time line. That's why I'm well compensated. And I said, I love that, man. I love Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is so fucking dope.
He's
the coolest cat in the room every single time. But I just want to know, how about that chemistry you're talking about? How'd it go? Huh. What's happening with the Jets, bro?
The chemistry wasn't the problem.
The chemistry wasn't the problem.
No, it wasn't. A bunch of weird shit just happened. Like, that's the only way I can put it.
That's like the story of every fucking game.
Like, a bunch of unexplicable. Like, tell me why. When's the last time you seen Garrett Wilson drop a ball and immediately bounce off his chest and get picked by the defender?
What is up with Garrett Wilson, dude?
I don't know.
Fuck.
It's just, I feel like after that, everything just went downhill. One thing's for sure about this New York Jets team, though, that we already know, and that's for certain. They don't handle adversity well.
No.
So when one thing goes down, everything starts to fall like dominoes.
Mm.
That's the bad thing about this thing. Because when they were up 15-0, things were looking good, right?
Sure.
And then that pick happens, and then boom, 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 boom. Downhill. I mean, Aaron Rodgers said it best. The offense. Because the New York Jets, for a long time, have been known as a defensive team. Aaron Rodgers said, it's time for the offense to take this team over and turn this team into an offensive team and be the reason why this team wins. And he's absolutely right. Because this defense has been playing well all year. This offense has been very underwhelming.
Mm.
Whether it's turnovers, mishaps, people not being on the same page, whatever the case may be, this offense has not performed the way that we thought it would perform. To make matters worse, last year at this time, Zach Wilson had a better record than these current Jets.
That's true.
And that's because they had somebody still as the head coach. His name is Robert Saleh. Never should have fired him.
Nope.
So don't have anyone to keep the locker room intact. So that's what's going to happen when you face adversity, when you don't have that guy at the helm to calm things down. But
you would think the quarterback would do it.
I mean, I don't know, man. Aaron Rodgers, I feel like, I don't know, man. Like,
I know. It's the same Aaron Rodgers we've been seeing for years that y'all don't want to listen to me. This is the same dude y'all were cheering when he was in Green Bay. He ain't changed nothing. He's just talking louder. He's just in New York media instead of Green Bay media. He's the same piece of shit he's always been, and I love to hate on him. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, dude. Eat a dick, Aaron Rodgers. This is what your ass gets. It's called karma. Your ass sucks. You're washed up. You're dragging this team down with a bunch of studs who should be thriving on this team. But it's because they have to placate his ego. That's why. And I'm just off the cuff about it. I don't give a fuck. I love when he fucking fails because that's the kind of man he is. He likes to blame everybody else. Who are you going to blame now? Ain't nobody to blame anymore. It's up to Rodgers if he wants the Jets to be the Jets they're supposed to be. Until that guy shows up, and I don't think he's going to, because he's too far up his own head. His head is so far up his own ass, he can taste the rainbow. That's all I'm saying. So he needs to be the one to look in the mirror. It ain't anybody else on that team except for the owner getting rid of Saleh. But that's beyond done. So it's got to be on Rodgers to save the season. And I don't think he's that guy. That's just
me. He ain't washed.
But I'm man. If he ain't washed, he ain't the old Rodgers either. And he needs to realize that shit too. Change up the offense.
Yeah, he
man.
Can't move the way he used to. That's really the only difference.
Then they got changed up because it ain't working.
That dude is still spinning that shit. I'd have to admit, he's still spinning that shit.
He can throw it, but he ain't getting the job done. That's all that matters.
Man, I'll say it for Aaron Rodgers. These receivers ain't getting the job done. I'll say it for him. God damn.
Well, then free Breece Hall, because Breece Hall is still an animal.
No, I mentioned that too. Breece Hall and Braylon Allen. They both should get the ball more.
That should be the offense then. Fuck all the throwing shit. Get back to running it.
They should run an offense similar to the Lions, where they run their two running backs, play action.
There you go. Boom. See? It's working wonders in the league. Adapt. But they're a little too stuck in their ways, and now they don't have a coach. So
yeah, but I mean, they don't look that good. I'll be honest, but I haven't lost faith. I mean, I still think they're gonna win the division.
That's fair. You stick, keep hope alive, man. I'm just saying, I'm not upset that it ain't going that well for Mr. Rodgers and his neighborhood. You know who it is going well for? Mr. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, because that man is on fire. Why don't you spread the good word about Lamar?
Well, yesterday, Lamar Jackson threw for like 333 yards.
Unbelievable.
Wait, is that correct?
It's 17 of 22, 281 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Oh, 281. He might have had like 330 total.
He also ran for 52 yards as well.
There you go. He had 333 total yards. There you go.
There you go.
And 5 touchdowns. That means he had 5 touchdowns and 5 incompletions.
Oh, my God.
That shit is crazy. All right. Him and his running mate, Derrick Henry, these two dudes were made for each other.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how you stop this rushing attack. This rushing attack is the best in the NFL. This is going to be the problem for everyone. Cold weather, warm weather, indoors, outdoors, it doesn't matter. The Baltimore Ravens are going to run the ball down your throat.
Nothing you can do
about it. And when they play action off of that, they got guys that can actually make plays down the field now. They got Zay Flowers. They got my boy, Rashad Bateman, who had a
went off.
I've been singing his praises like, yo, this kid looks really good on film. He's just not getting the opportunities because he's open a lot, runs really good routes. He's tall, lanky, quick. Like, I see the talent. When he gets his time to shine, what does he do? 4 for $122. We have a Mark Andrews sighting.
Unbelievable.
When you trade him, of course, he just, oh, wait, I can play football again. Oh, okay.
Right. Figures. Unbelievable.
One thing the Ravens do very well that is very similar to the Lions, they run a lot of heavy packages. They're not afraid to run the ball, not afraid to use 3 tight ends, throwing a fullback, get heavy and dirty, whatever. The only issue with that team is that defense. They give up a lot of yards, and they just rely heavily on turnovers. And yesterday, it worked out great for them. Marlon Humphrey, 2 picks, 1 in the red zone, worked out great for him, like I said. But against a great quarterback, against the Patrick Mahomes, that's why you always lose to him. Against maybe even like a CJ Stroud, you might get lit up.
Yeah. I mean, this was 41-31. So let's not
Baker was moving.
Exactly.
And so I believe the Ravens should be AFC favorites, but with an asterisk, because this defense is not good enough to win the AFC today. But they're just the best team as of today in the AFC.
I agree.
But they've been real fun to watch offensively. I will say that.
Absolutely. I fucking love watching them. And like you said, it's been the Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson combo. Because that, to me, is like watching college football. It's that pick your poison, smash mouth. You don't know what the fuck you're going to get, but you're getting punched in the face. That's fun football to watch. But, yeah, I have the same notion of, like, you can score 41, but if someone else can score 50, it doesn't really matter. So that the defense has got to tighten up. But I honestly, I don't think a lot of these teams can hang offensively with this team. So they're going to run most of them out the fucking building. Yeah, it's a matter of the buzzsaw.
This defense plays better with the lead. They kind of remind me of the old Green Bay Packers defense with, like, Charles Woodson, where Aaron Rodgers would always give him a lead, and Charles Woodson would just sit on some shit, wait for a pick, game's over.
Right.
But, man, dangerous team, man. Dangerous team.
I think so. Schedules coming up are pretty favorable, I think, too. They got some that they can take, but Ravens should be cruising the same as the fucking Chiefs. I don't know who the fuck is going to stop them, so AFC shaping up. That race is going a little nuts, but NFC, yeah, I think we got a spicy race to finish the season here. It's going to be a great second half. I can't fucking wait, especially with us and divisional games on the second half. That's exciting. Yeah. That's exciting cold weather football, man. That's what we were born with. So, fuck yeah, bring that shit on. But just to switch gears, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, just want to give a quick shout out to the NBA because they are just kicking off their season. The champion Boston Celtics defeated the New York Knicks 132-109 just about an hour or so ago. Right now, the Lakers and Timberwolves at the half. Lakers up 55. Timberwolves 42. But yes, I have feelings. I know, right? Just Lakers, man. It's crazy. So you want to get your feelings on opening night. I know you're the big basketball head around here, the expert bro when it comes to ball. And I wanted to just put myself out there just saying, hey, you know, we talked about this. I'm going to try to rededicate myself to basketball this season. I am hereby declaring my transfer papers are signed, and I am officially going back to my roots. As I watch and relearn the game, I will be following the Milwaukee Bucks. That's why I'm wearing my wife's hoodie. I don't have any fucking merch yet. I just got the damn Bucks? Lakers thing. The Bucks. That's right. So instead of the fucking Chicago Bulls trying to learn how to be a franchise, I'm going to watch at least a competent basketball team so I can learn the appropriate way. Nothing but love for the Bulls. Not, I'm not turning my back on them, but I'm just not going to relearn watching a gutter franchise. Once you guys signed Josh Giddey, I was out, but that's just me. I just want to know how you're feeling as an actual fan. How's it going to go, man?
So you over here picking a playoff team. My ass got the Pistons.
Yes, you can choose your own adventure with that shit. This is not like football. I don't give a fuck. I'm just trying to have fun with this shit. Yo ass can stay dedicated.
Anyway.
That 10-win team.
Anyway.
I'm getting too old for that kind of stress, man. My heart can't take all the fucking stress. I can't root for all the shitty teams, bro. Come on. Give me something. Man.
I thought I couldn't either, but look at me now.
Okay, well.
It pays off. Well, see, I never hopped off the wagon. That's why I feel so much better. When I'm talking about the Lions here.
When the Bulls get on that, we'll have a conversation about it then. I'm not wasting my breath at all that Bulls bandwagon is going to be anything out the station for the next decade. But sure, go right ahead.
So I was watching the Boston Celtics beat the shit out of the New York Knicks earlier. By halftime, I knew this game was over. The Knicks can't do shit. Like, oh my God. Defensively, the Knicks cannot do shit. It was high screen and roll with Jason Tatum and whoever, whether it was Derek White or Jrue Holiday or whoever. The Knicks had no answer for that. They didn't know whether to switch, whether to show, whether to hedge, whether to trap. Jason Tatum, I think he hit like 5 threes at the half, 5 or 6 threes at the half. And the entire Boston Celtics team hit 17 at the half as a whole. So they were just lighting them boys up.
Yeah,
the Boston Celtics look like they are inspired by their two stars being disrespected by not just the USA, but the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're going to repeat.
You're calling that already, huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
This was without Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, that says a lot. That says a lot, actually.
If they had Kristaps Porzingis, that's about... You can take about 10 points off the board for the Knicks, and you can also put up maybe another 18 to 23 for the Celtics. And
God damn. And there you go.
Yeah, because
with smacking
Porzingis, you get a shot-blocking stretch big that's 7'3". So good things normally happen when you have a shot-blocking big that's 7'3".
I would say so, but, you know, certain teams didn't think then they traded his ass to the Celtics. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Smart money, guys.
Fucking quick word about the Knicks. Karl Anthony Towns still soft as a bitch.
Oops.
Guess who was guarding him?
What was that?
Guess who was the primary defender on Karl Anthony Towns to start the game for the Boston Celtics? None other than Jrue Holiday.
Oh, God. Lights out.
Jrue Holiday 6'4". Let me remind y'all.
Yeah.
Cat is about 7'1". And Cat was not having a lot of success in the post. I don't know if that says more about Jrue Holiday or if it says more about Cat not being able to punish a smaller defender. I don't know.
I'm thinking both. A little bit of both. But Jrue Holiday is all world, though.
To say I'm impressed by Jrue Holiday wouldn't be the right word because I expect nothing less.
Exactly. That's a standard.
And this is why the Boston Celtics are going to win the championship again. Because the Bucks also thought it was a good idea to trade that guy.
Way to go, Bucks!
I try to warn y'all.
We said it on the show when it happened. We're like, y'all going to regret that. That was a bad decision.
Who the fuck allowed the Celtics to get Kristaps and Jrue Holiday the same offseason?
I had people at my old job when that fucking holiday trade happened. When the holiday move happened And they're trying to tell themselves, like, oh, it's fine. We don't need him. No, it's okay. And I looked at them like, do you not know what he did for that team? Like, do you not understand? Right. Yes, for my team now. Like, do you not understand what he did? So, like, they were content with letting him go. And I said, that was a crucial error in judgment. And it immediately paid dividends for the Celtics. So, wow. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past them getting a back-to-back title. We will, I think, do a full season breakdown as we do annually. So we can do that next week, get our real predictions out. We'll see how battle-tested you are keeping that Celtics pick. But I think next week will be a nice big NBA show for the fans. Just get, the season previews going. That's going to be great.
Spoiler, nothing's going to change. Celtics.
But we can have a good analysis and breakdown of why they're going to win compared to some other stud teams in the NBA. Going to be a fun episode, folks. Last for today, since we have a big UFC pay-per-view coming up, get some quick picks just for the main and co-main coming up, because they are giant fucking fights, and that way we can start next week's episode, big NBA extravaganza, with Whiskey after you lose both your picks, which I'm sure are going to be different than mine, but we'll see.
I don't know. They might be the same.
They might be the same. I don't know. Lately, we've been kind of on the same wavelength with shit, but yeah. We'll see how it goes for the main and co-main. UFC 308 coming at you live this Saturday. Start of the co-main, number 3, Robert Whittaker, big-time favorite on the show, versus Khamzat Chimaev, a lethal
player.
Yeah, Khamzat. It's not Khamzat. Khamzat Chimaev. You cannot say that because he will find us. You know that. He knows where we live. The goat milk will find us. So don't worry about that. We call him Mr. Chimaev around here. But yes, we know how good of a fighter both these guys are. And Chimaev clearly can hang with anyone in the division. However, with the recent health issues and knowing Robert Whittaker being an absolute machine that he is, surprisingly, maybe for some, maybe not for others, I am actually going Robert Whittaker here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say a flash third round knockout. Because Chimaev, as we know, is a storm in the first two rounds. He'll just take everything to finish you off.
First three minutes, right.
After that, though, Chimaev hasn't had to go in the deep waters that much. So Whittaker is the kind of guy, if he can weather the first two rounds, he has enough power to finish you quickly. I'm calling a nice, fun knockout by Whittaker in the third round. What do you think?
Man, I hope that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's fair.
This is what I think is going to happen. I think Khamzat Chimaev is going to get into the octagon.
I can't unhear Khamzat now.
With Bob and Knuckles.
More Knuckles. And
Russell fuck Robert Whittaker for 3 straight rounds. I honestly think that's going to happen. And I think Chimaev is going to win by UD. I think we're going to get a boring fight. I can't believe I'm saying that.
That would suck.
I truly believe we're going to get a boring fight.
Hope
we don't, though. I really hope we don't.
I hope we don't either. They both have knockout power. Let's go.
Yeah, but you got to realize, like, outside of the first, in my opinion, first 3 minutes, like I said, Chimaev.
Yeah, he doesn't do the, yeah.
He gasses himself up.
Stand and bang. Exactly. He's a stay and pray kind of guy. Successful one, but yes.
But he's just going to do what he always does and just rely on his wrestling, because honestly, his striking is not that clean. He's just very heavy-handed.
That's a good word, yes. Heavy-handed. He has heavy hands for knockout power, but Whittaker is a technician with his hands, which I was hoping. Yeah, I love the knockout potential from Whittaker here, but okay, that's fair. Especially knowing Jemaya's game, he could just run out the clock on this shit, and he does it better than anybody, that's for damn sure, but I'm hoping we get a spicier fight for that one.
Let's hope.
One fight I'm not worried about that one, though, is the main event.
Oh, yeah.
The featherweight title is on the line as Ilia Topuria goes against the blazing Max Holloway. And oh, man, baby, I'm just calling it now. This is going to be the fight of the year, I think. This has full potential to be a barn burner. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to it, and this is crazy I'm saying this too, I'm actually leaning Topuria here. I love Max Holloway. But Topuria has already kind of cemented himself as, like, the top asshole of this fucking division. And, like, the striking that he's got matches Holloway very well. He's going to have to use that ground. Because here's the thing. You're not knocking Holloway out. That's just, let's just get that off the table. Holloway doesn't get knocked out. He's proven it, and especially in the last fight, he doesn't get knocked out. The guy's got a chin made out of fucking stone. However, Topuria's got an all-around ground game too. And I think if he hangs in there with the ground game, keeps Holloway from getting in that rhythm where he gets overconfident and starts threatening and starts challenging you to fucking face him, you don't want to play that fucking game. I think Topuria's a little bit smarter, and Topuria can outlast him. I'm going decision on this one because I just think both these guys are fucking world-class warriors, and neither one is getting knocked out, but damn, they're going to fucking try. I'm just going to go Topuria by decision on this one.
Okay. I disagree again.
Good. Yes.
I don't know what's wrong with you people. I tried to tell you when he fought Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway is a different type of animal. All right. You get a different type of cardio. You get a different type of striking. You get a different type of boxing when it comes to Max Blessed Holloway. This is what's going to happen. Ilya is going to get outclassed on the feet. Ilya is going to get frustrated, but he's going to get too egotistical and not take this fight to the ground. He's going to chase a knockout and end up getting knocked out.
That's your favorite.
Look, Max Holloway, he has a longer reach. He's a taller fighter. I would argue that Max Holloway hits almost as hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that Max Holloway doesn't throw every punch with all his might.
Right.
He sets it up with the jab, switches stances. He fights good from southpaw and orthodox, mainly orthodox fighter. And you know what that right hand could do? If he put out Gaethje, anybody out.
Yeah, that's it.
So
it scares me.
I got Max Holloway by knockout. I'll say round three.
Okay. Interesting.
Round three knockout. Give me Max Holloway regaining the 145 featherweight championship and cementing himself as the best featherweight of all time.
I mean, that would do it. If honestly, in my opinion, there'd be no more question about it. He's already kind of up there, but
none. I mean, he beat the featherweight GOAT twice.
That's true. So that already kind of does it, but taking out someone like Topuria, who's, in my opinion, just scratching the surface of what he can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm a big fan of Ilya.
Oh, yeah.
I've been calling this shit for a while.
Yes.
He's impressed me a lot. He has very heavy hands, good striker, walks you down. The Gervonta Davis of MMA.
Yeah. Very fearless in the fight, for sure.
I think it's just a bad matchup. I think certain fighters match up better against others. For example, Volkanovski matches up better against Max than Ilya does because Volk, for one, he's the shorter fighter, but he's stronger than Max and he has a longer reach.
True.
And he doesn't fight with an ego. He mixes up all the skills in martial arts very well.
Right.
So he'll threaten takedowns against Max like he did, staying on the feet with Max. Close fights, Volk won. But Ilya, he's the type to walk straight at you and keep his hands up and try to box you and try to knock you out. You do that against Max, bad things happen.
He's proven that.
Yeah.
Bad things. Spectacular things for us, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let me get another knockout like last time, bro, because that was put it in the fucking Louvre, man. Hey, that shit.
That knockout.
Frame that.
Adesanya's knockout.
Yep.
Two of the greatest knockouts I've ever seen. And we got those in the same year?
Right. We are spoiled. Crazy. Yes, I think this fight's going to be just unbelievable. So no matter who wins, we all win. We'll have shots on the next episode.
Yep.
Kickstart.
Wait, we doing this by the round again? Or
let's do it by the round.
Okay. So if Max gets the knockout in the first round, then that's four shots.
Yes.
And then vice versa.
Yep.
Cool.
Done deal. Give the fans your last words for the evening, sir.
I just want to say a shout out to Bronny James making his NBA debut tonight. And him and his dad and the Los Angeles Lakers have the lead right now over, I forgot who they're playing.
The Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, yeah. Fuck the Timberwolves. Fucking everything from Minnesota. Fuck all y'all Viking fans. Y'all still trying to make excuses. Look, we beat y'all without our best player, so fuck y'all.
Oops.
Yeah, imagine if y'all ain't had Justin Jefferson. How bad we would have beat y'all.
Oh.
Yeah, fuck all you sore losing Viking fans. Oh, it's only a field goal. It don't count. Okay, well, didn't have our best player either. So fuck you guys.
And that's the truth with some cheese on it, man. But one of the things with cheese on it, make sure you go to the Bank Bro Show at YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com, at Bank Bro Show on Instagram. I don't know what has cheese on it. We'll figure it out, though. You should go and look, and we'll figure out something to put cheese on just for you. That's how we do it. It's full service pod over here. That's how we like to do it. Man, not that kind of full service. He's already got his shirt off. We don't do that kind of full service yet. That's
Sean
Watson. Again, that's subscription level. They got to pay for that shit. Free stuff is with the cheese. The OnlyFans account has to be paid. The kids put in college, bro. That's how we do it. Y'all know what it is. Come see us next week. Hot and spicy new episode, NBA style. We'll see you guys next week because the bank bros are in your city. We're here for you as always, and you can bank on it. Peace out.
1, 2, 3. Ha ha!